What is up, network? It is I, Adam, coming back at you with our last podcast in this TPNX prep series. How exciting. This is it. This is the week we've all been waiting for. Orlando, Sea Terminal, 21, 22 April. If you don't have your tickets, there's still a few out there. Or maybe you can find somebody who's not going any longer and you get a ticket that way. However it works, we want to see you down here. That's right. I'm actually recording this. I just got down here doing a quick intro on a podcast because the file got corrupted. So re-recording it. Anyways, this podcast is super exciting because it is the last one. It is with our big wig, Corey Glenn. He is the director of recruitment and pilot development at American Airlines. That's right, American Airlines, who's actually going to be giving out CJOs to those who earn it at TPNX this year. They're doing meet and greets and interviews with CJOs at the end of the day, both Friday and Saturday. That is beyond exciting. But this podcast with Corey gets into the nuts and bolts of how you can best present yourself through your application, resume, and your interview, and what American's looking for. And I think that's overarching for a lot of the industry. And Corey's got a very awesome and unique background. We were tanker pilots together back in the day, having a deployment here and there together. He then went on to do a lot of good work as a IMA. So he earned his stripes through the military as an instructor, a pilot, as well as being an enlisted guy and moving through guard and reserve units to get to that level. And then moved on to staff work as an IMA, which helped him in his current role at American as the director of recruiting and development. And the thing that's really unique about this is Corey is going to be celebrating his 9th anniversary at American Airlines this Saturday, April 22nd. What a great way to celebrate not only TPNX, Corey, American, and the wonders of TPNX and the pilot network, but camaraderie and community and the thing that we love most, and that's networking. We talk about a lot of different things in this podcast. I know there was a big hubbub about suits or not suits or whatever, as Corey states so eloquently in this podcast. Bring your suit just in case you're offered an interview if you're eligible and you have the level of experience and you meet all the requirements that American has. We've got places for you to storm, so it's no big deal. Come dressed to be comfortable if you just have a meet and greet. But if you get that interview, you'll be ready to go. We also have stations for people to change in so they don't have to do the bathroom Superman drill. Okay, I know that was a big deal, so we get into that. But to make not too fine a point of it, please enjoy this podcast with Corey Glenn. I had a great time talking to him, and I think you're going to gain a lot and be even more ready for not only TPNX, but any future chance that you have as a CJO at American Airlines. So we shall see you in Orlando in just a couple of days. Please enjoy this podcast with Corey Glenn. Corey Glenn, nice to finally have you on the Pilot Network podcast. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's totally my pleasure. We've been doing this series of kind of TPNX prep podcasts just to give the attendees and anybody else who's listening who's not able to make it to TPNX just some industry information, stuff that's going on in the hiring communities at different airlines, and just to give an overall perspective of what people can expect at TPNX and what they can expect in the future moving forward, not only at TPNX and the Pilot Network, but what each of the individual airlines are doing. And you at American being one of our big names that's coming and doing something that's really unique and cool there, and we'll get to that later, is this exciting for Matt, I, and all the members of TPN to be a part of. So we want to welcome you to the podcast. We want to thank you for your time. And also, we're a pre-welcome to TPNX as we will see each other in just a few short days. And most of you will hear this probably the day or two before TPNX kicks off. So this is kind of a great lead-in to get you ready for TPNX. But before we get there, let's go back a little bit and let's talk, let's find out from Corey, from the man himself, kind of where he got his start in the whole professional aviation community and then his position at American and all that kind of stuff and how that all came about. So Corey, why don't you take it away? Give us a little background on how you got into this whole racket.
Yeah, sure. You know, the early starting point is kind of cliche. I've always wanted to be a pilot since I was about 3 years old, and trying to figure out the way to navigate there turned out to not be as smooth and a glorious pathway to get here. So, I took some detours along the way to save up money, go to school, doing different types of jobs. I had a little bit of a different career in a different industry before I really got my feet under me for becoming a professional pilot. But that helped me kind of fund going through getting my private pilot license. And from that point, I was a guard baby. I was enlisted in the Air National Guard and then transitioned, did everything that I thought I needed to do to check the boxes to be competitive. And turns out I was, and I got my private license, had all those things squared away, and went to UPT in about 2000, 2001, I graduated. With the exception of the private pilot experience, my training background was in the military through the Air Force, and then transitioned. My timing in the industry has been unique, to say the least. I finished pilot training in June of 2001. And so you could set a clock on it. 3 months later, we had, one of the biggest events that affected the industry. And then fast forward to a couple of airlines and getting to American and getting in my current role as a director of pilot recruiting and development. I stepped into these shoes in January of 2020, hacked the clock again. 3 months later, we had COVID. So the great thing out of that difficult situation is that I think that I've done a pretty good job of building some resilience and understanding of how the industry treats people when it's in its heyday and when it's not in its heyday.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? We all have a story. I think most of the guys kind of in our era, because we're both roughly in that same time frame. I'm started just a hair after you did in the military side. The fact of the matter is we all have that story of where we were and how that affected our careers. And I think most of us expected that after 9/11 and then the recession that occurred in 08 through basically 2010. And then I think after we saw that for us who weren't quite at the airlines yet, we kind of thought, well, that's it, right? There can't be something else. There can't be another black swan event. And then lo and behold came March of 2020. And I think that's where a lot of the this push has come recently from the airlines, and just this massive wave of hiring, which has been really cool to see the different dynamic that it's brought and the different cross-section of individuals that have been able to get jobs. I some of the guys in my squadron, you wouldn't have been able to even think about getting employed at an airline at 26 or years old, or around that age. And now it seems like all the 26-year-olds in my squadron have already hit their year one mark at their airlines, and the ones who are just slightly younger or coming up are almost ready to start submitting their applications.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, yeah, it's been a unique and in such an interesting time for the industry that it's been something that to actually sit back and look at it objectively and from that 35,000 foot view to see it the way it is. And one of the things that I think has been very interesting for myself and for others out there is knowing what happened after that pandemic pause, as we've kind of called it in the industry a little bit, is how hiring resumed so quickly. What has American done to be able to mitigate that, which has been pretty impressive across the board? But then also, how many pilots have you brought on since that pause occurred?
Yeah, that was the unique thing about having some energy in the seat when things shut down really drastically. I think I was really getting a good grasp of what laid ahead, and definitely came in with some pretty good background on what the industry was doing and what the next 10 to 15 years was going to present without COVID. And so when COVID impacted the U.S. markets and the U.S. industry, part of the industry, and the decisions were made, we need to shut hiring down, and companies were looking at trying to stop costs expenditures at all costs. One of the things that really kind of resonated and was keeping me up at night, so to say, was that I knew that whether it was going to be 3 months, 6 months, 2 years, that was just going to be a pause. It wasn't going to end the industry because just how much of a pillar it is on just the infrastructure of our society these days. And when we got out of that, this one consistent thing that happens in this industry, whether it's on the military side or the commercial side, is we delay our reactions and wait till the last possible minute to actually make the decisions. And as a result, we get kind of, we always hear about, the pendulum effect or the accordion effect of our actions. And I knew that no matter what was going to happen, no matter what kind of data was available, the decision to resume hiring was absolutely going to have to be well after, several months after we probably should have resumed hiring. That's as an industry as a whole, and especially acutely in the situation American is in with our retirements over the next 7 years. So I had the mindset to go, look, we should do, and you as a fellow tanker, Bubba, can kind of appreciate this, but my thought was, rather than just, shutting the lights out and leaving a cold, dark jet on the ramp with no gas in it, I wanted to leave everything kind of in a cocked on state and have it primed and ready to go so that whenever we were brought back in to start the process up, I knew it was going to need to be done very quickly. So that's what we did. We shut things down and had everything just set, primed, ready for turning things back on in no time. And so for me in particular, I spent about 8 months flying the line out of the office and then got called back in May of 2021. And we were bringing some of our pilots that were furloughed back through training over those next 2 months and then right into new hire classes in September. And in record time, we spun up from nothing going on and recalls to hiring over almost 600 pilots in the course of 4 months in the end of the third quarter and through the fourth quarter of 21. Since then, including that time frame, we've hired over 3,000 pilots in that 18-month footprint.
That is just mind-boggling to me and to a lot of the folks listening who are who've been at airlines for a while. That is just so many compared to what we were seeing when we were trying to look for jobs. I remember when I was looking back in 2010, and there was only a smattering of airlines that were starting to even think about hiring. And man, I couldn't have dreamt of something like that coming ever in my lifetime. And sure enough, it's here and it's happening across the industry. What are the projections for essentially the rest of 23, and then what do you see in 2024, and then even what's crystal balls are cloudy at best, but then beyond that?
Yeah, so we're sitting at almost the third way point through the between a quarter and third way through the year. Our projection, we've got about 650. As of tomorrow, we'll have just over 650 pilots that we've brought on property since January, and that rate is expected to continue. We expect to hire just above 2,000 pilots by the end of 2023 for the calendar year, and that number is not projected to change dramatically, because actually next year is when we get into kind of the prime time of retirements for us. So they peak over the next 24 through 27, about 850 to 950 pilots a year, mandatory retirement. So we are catching up, and we're going to have to stay at that rate. So our projection is probably around, it would probably be safe to say, expecting to hire close to 10,000 pilots in the next 5 years.
That is a ludicrous number for a lot of people that are listening out there, and for you young folks looking for a job in the airline industry, that's as good as it should be music to your ears. And I think what a great place to settle at when you're looking at legacy carriers that are out there. I mean, there's there's no better place to be sitting than at a legacy carrier with lots of movement in front of you. And that is what you want when you hear the word retirement. That's movement in front of you. And that's something that should be exciting and get some of those folks out there pretty amped up about the future. And to start that future, we've got to do, as most people who listen know, and there's some military folks out there who don't understand the process yet, and they're learning it as they go along. But there's a unique thing in the industry where it's not, you come in for an interview and it's not like when I worked at Burger King as a, hey, you're interviewed and can you start on Monday when you're interviewing on a Friday afternoon? There's a lot, it's a little different in the airline industry. So what is the timeline for American when you go from phone call or email or your process that way to interview the person, to bring them on after they submitted their application and all their I's are dotted and T's are crossed to that interview? And then if they do get a CJO because they've met the not only the requirements, but they absolutely embody the ambassadorship that's required to become a pilot at American, that interview to INDOC, and then once you get into INDOC, which is basically your course to get onboarded at the company, from INDOC to aircraft training, and then beyond, get out on the line and start flying and working for your customer.
Yeah, that's I tend to use analogies, and sometimes they land well, sometimes they're a little hard for people to track, but I'll kind of break this down into some different timelines. So you've got the point of when an application is complete and published for someone who's competitive. And that is a really, that's less precise, I'll say, because there are so many variables that go into that application being correct, complete, competitive, and viewed amongst the peers of the other applications. We have thousands of applications on file. We have hundreds daily that are new published applications. And so I kind of look at that piece of from the point you publish to the point you get a call is it's like trying to track how long does it take a drop of rain that lands in the reservoir to go through the dam. You know, there's so many variables that, you know, if it's the drop that happens to land close to the dam, it goes through faster than ones that land further away, but all of it is still water, right? So that part is really hard to put a timeline on there. But what I will say is that the things that tend to make that process go quicker is the folks that spend the time curating their application. An application is a living application. It's not a, all right, I think I've got everything, hit submit and wait for a call. It is something that you manage and monitor and maintain. Until you get the call, and even after that, until you start training, that's the easiest way to communicate your interest to us, as well as that you're currently actively flying, and allows you to also pay attention to all of the attributes that you think highlight you above and beyond the peers that are in that same pool for looking for that the opportunity to come here. So that piece is a little bit hard to measure. Some folks, it's as short as, you know, a week, and other folks, you know, for various reasons, they've had their application on file for months or even years and then finally get a call. A lot of that has to do with, you know, I mentioned that curation of the application, but a lot of that has to do with making sure that there's no omissions, no errors, the information is complete, and that you're showing interest by staying, keeping that application refreshed. From that point that we make a call or we open up the opportunity to interview with American, it sits between 2 and 3 weeks for the opportunity. When you get notified, the opportunity is there. We're inviting you to come out in the next 2 to 3 weeks to interview with us. And from that point, and this is I apologize to my peer airlines in the industry, but this is something that we've been able to excel at and have historically, but from job offer, which we do for a good portion of the successful candidates, the day that they, within an hour after they complete their interview, they know that they have a job with American, and we bring them back in to start INDOC anywhere between 2 and 6 weeks after that interview. So it's pretty quick that they're going to be back in training. We definitely value character. And so my expectation is that, you know, if we're hiring the right people, they're going to do right by their current employers and give them appropriate notice and not just, you know, deuces I'm out. They're going to give them the proper notification and time frame to transition to this job. And then that in doc is a couple weeks for us. I think it's almost universal across the industry with some distance learning time to go learn your aircraft and come back and do ground school. That footprint in between for our pilots is paid an average line value. And that lasts anywhere between 4 and 6 weeks again. And then they'll come back for the 4 weeks of ground school. And within a week after that, they go straight into IOE. So there's been points in time where we've had bigger gaps through any part of that process, just because, you know, there's a log jam somewhere down the line. But by and large, that's the timeline folks can look at. They can go from getting a call to interview to sitting in a simulator in less than 2 months.
Wow, that's pretty fast. I remember when I first got hired at Atlas, I believe after I was sim complete, I sat for about a month and a half, which had its pluses and minuses. Now, the month that I had off was the month of January, which in Wisconsin is not the greatest month to have off because there's not a whole heck of a lot to do. Even though I'm a skier, the skiing here isn't all that great. And when you're on training pay, it's not all that, it's not, there's not a lot of ease to just say, you know, I think I'm going to go to Colorado and go skiing for 2 weeks. It doesn't really work that right. way. So that is good. Cause then once you're back out on the line, you can start, not only can you earn more for yourself, but you can go out and you can start, you can put into practice what you've practiced, and you don't have a lot of that time for a deterioration of skill set, which is just fantastic for, especially for new hires, especially for the folks who've never pushed off a gate before.
Right.
That there's differences in the way the airline operates as opposed to, you know, flying a C-17 and you've never done that before. So there is those nuanced differences, and that's the stuff that you really gotta get down, especially when you're, you know, flying four legs a day and you're turning out a LaGuardia regularly, which is new hires a lot of us have had to do before. So that's the kind of thing that I like to hear. That's exciting for to set that kind of standard and really, really nail that down. That's really cool to hear. I think you mentioned stuff about that application curation and keeping stuff almost fresh in the minds of the American recruiting team and making sure that your folks can see that somebody has not only interest, but is continuing to grow their career and move in the right direction to become a pilot at American. Are there any other practices, best practices, I guess you could say, for that application and resume completion for your folks to see, so somebody can kind of, not necessarily stand out, but be that raindrop that falls nice and close to the dam?
Yeah, that's a valid question. And it really just comes down to attention to detail. That is the biggest component there. And oftentimes, one of the things that I see on a regular basis is just, I've say it everywhere that I go. I say it to our new captains. I say it to any pilot that pulls me aside or asks for questions. The number one reason is and will continue to be the fact that someone has just not given that full attention to their application and they've left something out, they've omitted something, or just that is, you know, that it's almost like, you know, so I don't imagine there's a whole lot of other ways to spell Adam than the way you spell your name, but there are a lot of ways to spell Corey. And I know there's some other folks like me that, you know, you get an email from someone that clearly found your name correctly by emailing you and then spell your name with a different letter or an extra letter. That yeah. sets the tone, right? And that attention to detail, when those things, they just stick out, you know, like a thorn. And so sometimes it's a, it, all right, let's wait until that gets corrected. And then taking the time to be very elaborate in the way that you build your story. You know, it's not the actual narrative. It is that all of the pieces, the application go together, and, you know, you can either have an application that is fully developed like a painting that's got every detail and intricacy of your career and who you are and what you're presenting that looks very closely to how you perceive yourself and how others perceive you. And then there's those folks that just, you know, do the stick figure drawing of, okay, I'm just going to go with just the minimums and put the basic information in. This is what I've flown. This is how many hours I've got. This is where I worked. Yes, I failed a check ride. Yes, I'm available. And that's it. The folks that really go into the details and give, you know, time, the experience, what happened and how they cured the scenario, if they've had a failure or hiccup in their training or in their history, ones that give a lot more detail and reasons why they transitioned from one job to another. You know, it's one thing to say, I left this unit to go to that unit. It's another thing to say, you know, I flew with this airline and it seemed like a logical choice and progressive choice to move to that next airline. And just taking the time to really connect the dots and have it really spelled out versus trying to hope and, you know, as we say in the training world, hint and hope that the recruiters are going to be able to build a story off of the basic details that are put in there. So that's really what that means is not just the basics. It's going above and beyond and really filling in every last detail.
Yeah, that I think that hits home for me. I remember when I applied and essentially got hired at my current airline. One of the things I had swapped jobs, I left the position at one reserve unit and moved to my current guard unit. And one of the things was explaining that in detail because it didn't necessarily look like a somewhat lateral move, and it was, but the reason was very personal. I had been wanting to get back home to Milwaukee, Wisconsin for a very long time, and to have that finally to have that opportunity come to me, it was something that I knew I had to take advantage of, and I explained that pretty thoroughly in my application process. And I think you just said it right there. I connected the dots for the recruiter and then in turn the interviewer to see that was, although a lateral move, I was going to keep along the progression that I was going along anyways, but the reason was very personal and it was somewhere that I really wanted to be, and that they knew that, hey, if in my mind as a potential candidate, that if they had a pilot who was excited to go to work at a different location and he wasn't leaving on a note of there was some sort of malfeasance or something like that at his old unit, he was just excited to go home and be close to his family again, and that's why he was doing it, and this was also going to benefit the airline in the future as hiring that person as a brand ambassador for them as well as a qualified and competent pilot. In my mind I didn't think of it and didn't put it as succinctly as you did, but in my head I was thinking, well, I just don't want them to have to second guess or why did he make that move if I just said, yeah, I left one unit for another. And I think that rolls right into the next question that I had was, when we do the application process and we go through that sometimes very challenging putting together that narrative and history of ourselves, we go into the interview and we take for granted that we have all this information stored in our head and we try to deliver it in a concise manner and something that's very personal to us so that the interviewer gets to know who we are on the other side of the table. I think in my past history of all the stuff I've done, not only with TPN and then but outside of that, is the preparation for the interview and getting ready for that. I thought, okay, I can use any little help I can get to make sure that I'm not, I have these great stories in my head. I just need to know how to put them together a little bit. What kind of interview prep do you, as the director of pilot recruiting and hiring at American, like to see, and how do you like to see your candidates come in and be ready for the interview? Aside from, you know, looking nice and shaved and all that good stuff, you know, if they've got facial hair to shave. But the other piece of that puzzle is just that, how do you present yourself and what do you like to see?
Yeah. You know, you led into that really nicely and, you know, telling your own, piece of your transition on your application. The behind that was, you know, I hear someone has a set of values and that you use those values to affect the decision and the choices you make and the job opportunities that you took. So that is one of the big things that we look for, is someone that's, you know, principled and uses their values and, you know, be as a airline that is customer focused. We want to be able to see that and extract that and experience that. And then the fact that we're in a profession, we want to see that professional setting. So, you know, I'm going to tie a couple things together. I am going to answer your question, but I'm going to tie a couple things together that are apropos for this coming weekend. You know, there's been a lot of I'll say controversy about some of the messaging that we've recently set for coming to this year's TPN event. And it has to do with the suit, right? The look. And for us, we 100% embrace the casual nature that you've established with TPN and invite anyone that comes to do meet and greets to completely feel comfortable knowing they're not going to be judged on that manner in that setting. But that said, when and if we offer an opportunity to interview, we're looking for someone that is presenting their best self, that conveys that their values-based, understand the setting of, you know, this is a profession, and every airline in the U.S. That operates 121 has a uniform that's business standard. And so we want to be able to just have be able to translate that and see that image sitting across the table during the interview. That's the meet and greet is more about the personality, but the interview is more about, all right, we want to see everything that you're bringing forward and if we're going to offer you a job. So as far as the preparation goes, it is a multi-million dollar career. I would hope and expect that someone, one, isn't taking it for granted that there are so many competitive folks, and it is not a guarantee for anyone out there, regardless of background. The thing that really closes the deal is, you know, how well you present the value offering you have as a professional pilot to us. And you've got a short time to do that. That 1 hour interview is all you have to really present the main components that we're looking for. So taking the time to help get polished up on, you know, what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. You don't necessarily have to, and I would actually caution against getting fully prepped all the way down to the stories you're going to use and how you're going to apply them to different settings. And, but, you know, good storytellers do follow a pattern. And so being able to learn and have some help with what those patterns are and extract the best potential way of presenting yourself, there's nothing wrong with that. And expected, it is expected in this industry that those people who are serious about it are going to do everything they can to make sure that they present their best selves. And then that goes on to, you know, we are probably a little bit different than some of our peers, but even though within the airline, within our pilot group, we don't allow extensive facial hair, beards, or, you know, long hair or anything like that. If the grooming meets standard professional business grooming standards, in that setting, we're not gonna pass judgment. We frequently have hired pilots that fly for airlines that do have different grooming standards than us, and they are able to present it in a professional way, and that's perfectly acceptable. But just know that, you know, taking the time to make sure you have everything you're ready, and you can control that timeline. You can say, I'm not ready to interview yet. Or you can say, hey, you know, maybe a different setting when things are back to normal or in a normal setting that I'd like to interview in that situation. But having that situational awareness and personal awareness to know that, you know, you're going to maximize your performance in the timeline and setting that best suits you. That shows definite prowess and an ability to just have situational awareness, which a completely translatable skill, right? To operate on a flight deck.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Amen. Home run. That exactly. First of all, I'm going to back up a second here. Because there was a lot of questions on that, on the suit versus no suit thing. You heard it from the man right there, folks. I could not have put it any better myself. And it was, that's Corey Glenn. The man in charge says, hey, come, the TPNX is a casual environment, but if you have the opportunity, and you're given the fortunate chance to interview for a job and be awarded that CJO day at TPNX, it's okay to have a suit on standby and change. And it's not going to be, hey, we want to interview you in 5 minutes, go change and get yourself ready to go. Cause that's going to be challenging not only for the interviewers to do, but for you as well. So they understand that, and Corey said, nailed it with we're embracing that. So that should put anything else to rest out there for you folks who are worried about that kind of thing. But I think the thing that I wanted to really drill down on here and make sure it is not lost in the course of conversation is being able to represent your best self is doable in these interviews, but you got to have a little bit of practice and you've got to understand what you're trying, the messaging you're trying to get across about who you are, because like we talked about just in the application, right? It's, you can't expect the interviewer to be able to piece together a puzzle without all the pieces. And if you don't have all the pieces laid out on the table, it's very challenging to put that puzzle together. And the easiest way to do that is to be able to tell a great story. And that story is your personal story. And even if you're not Mike Rowe, who can tell an amazing story, you can tell your story and it is yours to tell. So go out and get those reps in, get some practice in the many facets that you can do it. I remember I started when I got into public speaking, just to begin with, was practicing in front of the mirror started the whole thing. But the next thing was practicing in front of my wife. And I remember she laughed at me the first time that I stood up and I worked on my intro because it was funny. We were standing in a room together and it just kind of had an odd feel to it. But I'll tell you what, it really allowed me to relax and understand that, okay, when I go in, I'm going to be nervous with anything that I ever do, but I'm going to be, I'm excited for this multi-million dollar career. This really cool thing to be an airline pilot at a big time company. That was something that I had to get kind of through and work through. And then the next thing you know, that it just kind of takes off and goes from there. So you heard it from the man himself, work on that kind of thing and understand that that's expected. And in those, Corey, you mentioned the meet and greets and then the fact that, and we'll get into a little bit more detail about the meet and greets and then the interview stuff that's going to be happening at TPNX. But one of the things I wanted to kind of diverge off of with that topic was meeting pilots from all these different corners of the country at events like TPNX. They are, sometimes some folks have questions of like, well, does it really do anything for me? From your perspective, how do meeting pilots at these meet and greet events help your team establish what they're going to do going forward and who they're going to eventually put on the American team?
Yeah, it works both ways. So we definitely get a lot out of it because there's two pieces we get to do. Number one is we get to actually, we get to test the ripeness of the produce that's out there. We can get a little bit of feedback and decide, you know, is it time to, is this something that's ready to be picked or is it need to ripen a little bit more? Is this person in then looking at an aggregate, is there gives us a good survey from every event, regardless of what the event is, even though by and large, the number or the candidates and the pilots that show up to these over the course of time, there is some repetitiveness of the same people showing up to those events. But there's also, though each event has kind of its niche, and that niche highlights, and we see a higher preponderance of folks that fit that niche. And that allows us to really get a better look of who those other folks are out there. And the other piece that it allows us to do is, you know, we operate in this behind several screens, right? You know, that the interview process, the selection process, the hiring process, as much as we've come out and I've tried really hard in the last year and a half to be a lot more transparent about the process that's existed, it's still behind a pretty thick veil of unknown and what does it take. And we use these meet and greet opportunities to provide direct feedback to folks that take the time out to come see us. So in most settings, you know, it's the difference between doing a training ride and a check ride, right? This is a training ride. We get to talk about the, hey, don't say this, or hey, you probably want to have a little bit more information on that. This is an area that you can take with you and go back and start working on. You're a little bit low in this area of flight time or this level of experience, or you might want to stick with the current airline you're with a little bit longer to show us some loyalty. Whatever the deficiency or perception is, we can, you know, make a small heading adjustment for those individuals and help put them, let them leave visiting with us on a path that sets them up for success when the opportunity pops up down the road. So that's the other piece that it gives us. And we hope that that exposure translates into, and for the, especially the most competitive candidates that we're interested in, maybe sets a little bit more their desire that American Airlines is where they want to spend the rest of their career.
That is some gold right there. That I think, I hope people heard that and take that to heart. These are events that, whether or not you're there yet, might be an opportunity to find out how you can get there. Kind of, if you have the thrust but you need vector, this will help you. If you have the vector but the thrust isn't really there, this is going to help you move into that, kind of get that, reignite that engine and get it relit and start cruising to where you want to be. And I mean, that was a lot of flying analogy and pun there, but all intended, of course. I think one of the things that we mentioned, and something that I wanted to get really specific to American and TPNX, and something that's just so exciting, Matt and I are just thrilled about this. The TPNX volunteers, the team that's putting this together, it's really unique for us to be able to do this. Is not only is American having meet and greets, but they're also having live interviews on site. We've got a really cool space for them to do this. And it's going to be the American show at the end of the day on Friday and Saturday. And one of the things that you guys are doing is actually offering CJOs on site, which we're just thrilled to do. And we can't wait to see the reaction of some of those people who get that opportunity and are going to be part of the American team after that day. All they got to do is set foot on property and get that line number, that seniority number, and start doing great things for American. When your team came to that decision and started to move down that road, I can only imagine there was like, well, okay, this is how we're gonna approach this. What was the nexus, the turning point that was like, yeah, this is exciting. We're gonna do this, and we're gonna be able to offer these jobs. How did that kind of unfold with you and the team?
Yeah, there's some details I'll have to leave out just because of the proprietary nature of it. But really, it just translated into the return on the investment of candidates. You know, I have to reiterate, you know, I've been in this industry for 25-ish years. I've been an airline pilot. I spent 10 years flying for a regional before I transitioned to American. In fact, I'll be celebrating my 9th anniversary with American at TPNX. It'll be on Saturday of the event. It'll be exactly 9 years to the day of my day one of NDOC. So having been on the other side of the table a couple of times, knowing what that process is, you know, there's lots of folks that go to 1, 2, 5, 10 of these events, and it feels like, okay, I've got to sacrifice a weekend again. I've got to spend time away from my hobbies or my family, put the suit on again, or put on the show to go talk to folks and stand in line. And after doing that once or twice, feels like a huge investment with only potential. And it's our way of turning that potential into kinetic and letting you know, and giving the opportunity to folks that go, hey, this actually can materialize into something. At this point, I can come back from this event in a completely different mindset with that job in hand versus, okay, that might be just one more letter to add to the stack of when I get a call. And the way we went about it really was just making sure that every single component of how we do things normally, how we normally hire pilots, no leaf is left unturned. Every single step of the checklist that we do on a regular basis in the, at the headquarters is what we do when we go to these events, and making sure that, you know, that there's some validation for those folks that are successful through that process. And it also, again, you know, that gives us a competitive advantage because we're still the only legacy that's able to make this happen at events. And, you know, we find the best organizations to partner with to do these CJOs at. You know, there's not every event that we do them at, but the ones that we've found value and a partnership with, those are the ones that we choose to make this happen at. And TPN is one of those.
That's so cool. We can't thank you enough. We're humbled by it. And I think the thing I want to extract from there that just resonated with me, the way you said it, is we want to take potential energy and turn it into kinetic. What a cool way to really encapsulate how that feeling is going to be for those individuals who've earned that spot with American. And what a cool way to, like you said, like, okay, it's one more, you know, one more letter on the stack. No longer is it that you're going to be going home with that life-changing moment. And what a cool way to do that. And again, we can't thank you enough for you and your team putting the long hours and effort into figuring out how to make that a reality. And I think one of the other things that's really cool that we don't get to see a lot of in this industry is you're bringing the headquarters feel, the on-property site at American Airlines, to a different venue, and people who aren't quite there yet, though we talked about the thrust vector thing, who are going to see this happen, that thrust is going to go through the roof. Like, oh my gosh, that's a reality. That actually does happen, and it can happen to me as well. And if I put my nose to the grindstone and work on these couple of things, because I just had a meet and greet with the folks at American, I too can be one of those people with a CJO in hand, not too far in the future, and maybe at the next TPNX if I'm not ready until then, because I put the work in and I've got my assignment. And maybe, you know, just because it was said to me doesn't mean I can do that. I do this checklist and I'm all good. But I do it what the gist of the ideas were that were given to me, and then I take it and make it my own. And if that's, you know, for a young instructor out there who is able to go become an evaluator and maybe has a little breadth of experience training or expansiveness in like safety or something, if you're in the military, or you're at a regional and you can go become a line check airman or work in the training department for a little while and you get that breadth of experience, isn't that what you needed? And then you can make that your own and bring it back the next time through. It's just so cool. I think that's such a neat way. Is not only are you able to do this for the candidates that are out there and attendees, but we get to see as a network what it's like to bring a company of the size and scope that American is to a venue that's outside of their headquarters. And that is very unique and very cool. And I think Matt and I are thrilled to be a part of it. And we're just excited to see that unfold and hype it up as best we can, because we're excited to see the, like I said, those looks on those people's faces. So Corey, I think that's just awesome. As we get towards the end here, we've got something that we used to do on a lot of podcasts that we used to call the memory items. It was a little cheese ball way of making something unique and very pilot oriented. We kind of went away from it a little bit, but we thought we're going to bring it back for these episodes because they're so, it's so apropos. It's so right on the money to do this for all of our listeners out there. These memory items are basically three little questions or kind of one hitter questions that are just going to be like, okay, really short, sweet, to the point, and let Corey get a very succinct answer out to be able to take with you from this episode. So if you only remember 10%, these are the major 10% things we want you to take away. So and Corey had these in front of him beforehand, so these are not coming out of left field. Just to let everybody know out there. So we'll go through them real fast here. Number one, if there was one thing that will make a candidate stand out to you and the team, what is that?
That is really the ability to relay their technical prowess or proficiency and their care for people in a very succinct manner, and being able to illustrate that in a way that differentiates them from their peers.
Simple and sweet. I love it. All right. Number two, what are Americans' minimum requirements? And then also, what is the recommended, whether it's hours progression? What do you like to see?
That gets a little bit tricky, but as far as our minimums is just unrestricted ATP. So having an unrestricted ATP, a right to work in the United States, and ability to travel freely in and out of the country to all the countries American flies are the main criteria that make you qualified to be a pilot in American. Now, what's preferred is that we place a lot of value in that natural progression that you mentioned. So taking opportunities beyond just being a rank and file line pilot that shows up at sign-in and leaves 15 minutes after parking the brake. We look for folks that are engaged in their community, invested in their community, and invested in their pilot group. And as the world's largest pilot group, we want to have pilots that take care of each other, because if we take care of each other, then we can easily take care of the rest of our colleagues and our customers.
Perfect. Number three, let's say someone right now is actually getting their application ready as they listen to this, and they're burning the midnight oil. They want to come to TPNX prepped and ready to go. What do you want to say to them so they can successfully, whether that's at TPNX or down the road, land that CJO and become part of the American Airlines team?
the biggest trend, and I think, again, my peers in the industry would agree, we're seeing a lot more of folks, and part of it is generational, but the other part is just the proliferation of information that's out there. Listen to your mentors. If you don't have a mentor, find a mentor to walk you through the process. And that's someone on both sides of the fences. You know, those folks that are transitioning from the military, having someone that's gone to the level above where you're at in the military as a mentor, as well as having someone that made a transition to the airlines that can give you a perspective. You need at least two perspectives to really triangulate in on what fits you. So having at least one mentor, if not a couple mentors out there to provide that information to you is key. Turn the noise down of your peers. Your peers are in there and no one is going to look out for you more than you. Your peers are looking out for themselves more than they're looking out for you. So listening to the, you know, whatever the latest forum gossip line is, or you know, peer network out there that's sharing information, what you suspect, go to the source, get the information. This is a great spot where you're at right now listening to this, because you're hearing it directly from the source, not taking the information that someone's boyfriend's, sister's, girlfriend's, cousin heard at the 31 Flavors, that this is how you do it. You're hearing, you go to the source. Yep.
That could not have put it better. I love that, all that idea and all of the things that you said throughout this whole interview and then the discussions of those memorandums are something that I want folks to try to take to heart, listen to it again, throw it on 1.5 speed and, rip through it one more time before you show up at TPNX, which is this kicks off this Friday, the 21st and the 22nd of April. Corey and the team from American will be there along with a lot of other folks. Myself and Matt are very excited to host you, Corey. We're excited to have your team there. If somebody is looking to just find out more information about American Airlines, their recruiting team, and the stuff that makes American tick, where can they go?
Yeah, there's a couple good spots. You know, one of the ways I ended up here and when I was looking for my destination airline job, I spent a lot of time on the direct websites of that airline, AA.com, looking at all of the things that the company wanted to build on its image. Embedded in there, you're going to get the values that embody the company. And that serves two purposes. One, that gives you some talking points. And two, it validates that you're a good fit and the company is a good fit for you. So that's one spot. As far as directly with the team, you know, coming to the TPNX event is a great spot. The other thing is, you know, online, we've all got LinkedIn profiles and our recruiting team is really active on LinkedIn. And so you can certainly reach out to those folks on there. And they are very approachable, reachable, and definitely love to help people. So that's a great resource as well.
So you heard it from Corey Glenn himself, everybody, AA.com. Check out LinkedIn. You can find a lot of the recruiters' profiles and the American team on there as well. They're very active, and you can see they've cross-posted with us about TPNX. And I follow them, and I see a lot of great things that they're doing. And Corey, I want to thank you again for your time. I know you're really busy, especially leading up to stuff like this, and just like everybody else, all the attendees who have to put the time and the effort into going to these events. You have to plan and organize a whole team showing up to something like this. So to me, this is a personal thank you from me to you and from all of TPN to you and the American team. Thank you for investing some time, effort into the pilot network. And we are very excited to bring forth some of the best candidates that you can possibly ever see at American Airlines. So thank you again for your time. I really do appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the teams that I have behind the scenes that put in equal amount of work, if not more, for these events. We wouldn't be able to do it without the amount of folks that we use. And we have folks all across the company through our talent team, as well as our flight operations team, our training department, all kind of working together to make sure that these things go off seamlessly and that we can bring the correct resources to help folks land this dream job.
That is awesome stuff. I always love it when somebody thanks their team, and we feel the same way at TPN. We thank the American team, and I'll throw a little shout out to my volunteers and team members that are making everything work for TPNX. We couldn't get it done without them. It would be a giant wash of pain and misery. But with them, it's exciting. It's fun. And we look forward to TPNX again, 21st, 22nd of April. It's coming right around the corner, literally at the end of the week. We look forward to seeing you all down there. And of course, I would be remiss if we didn't say how you could contact us. So, hey guys at thepilotnetwork.com. It's the easiest way to email and get a hold of us. Otherwise, you can reach out to us on socials. We'll find you some way. It may take a little longer, but we do find it at some point. And finally, as always, keep the shiny side up and the greasy side down. Fly safe, everybody.
Yes, yes, yes.